Warwick Township, so there's Warwick Furnace, which is, I guess, down the road, like 3 mile drive. Have you ever passed it? So they found 2 years ago, there's this old story. Maybe you guys heard this story, but there was an old story for years that at the furnace, they made these big cannons in 1776. So in 1777, when the British were coming up to Philadelphia, at the furnace, they were scared that the British were going to get these cannons. They had these massive 7 foot, 4,500 pound cannons that they cast at the forge. So the story was that when the British were coming in, the guys at the furnace buried these cannons because they didn't want them falling into the enemy hands, right? And those Brits, they're our enemies. They were our enemies. But so that was like the folklore. So I guess evidently some people started studying this, and they said, you know, they're out there. They're in one of the fields. So they brought in some drones, so modern technology, right? So they bring in the drones, and they started surveying some of the area, and then they brought in, I guess, drones with magnetic size, whatever, you know, to determine where something metallic might be, that they could determine where this was that was an anomaly from the rest of the region, and they found the location. So they started to dig for it. So they found these four cannons. So they were buried for 240 years. And one of the cannons, and they were big cannons. So one of the cannons actually still had, two of them actually had 18-pound cannonballs in the chamber, ready to rock and roll for, you know, shooting that out. So they said as they're cleaning it out, one of the cannonballs actually rolled out. I don't know if it was charged. I don't know if that charge would have held for 240 years. But anyway, I thought that was an interesting. Did anyone know that story? Okay. I guess they're gonna. You guys could have came up here and told me. Was it good? Okay. Because I was like, man, that is really cool, right? Just, I mean, what's that? Oh, you did? Okay. So I think they're going to be on display somewhere. I'm not sure if at Hopewell Furnace they're going to. Is there one down on display? I might drive down there today and look at it just because I was like all reading. Because I love cannons. I told you I found one time when I was snorkeling. And then I tried to get that out of the islands, but I couldn't do it. But anyhow, so it was, took me down the road then for cannon jokes. So. Do you know I used to work in a cannon cleaning room and I cleaned cannons until I got fired? Okay. You know, people always ask me, was it fun working in the cannon room? I said it was a charge. It was a blast. That's what I have written down, a blast. Didn't have my glasses on. And then what's it called when a cannonball eats another cannonball? Cannonballism. That's exactly right. So don't eat a cannonball if you're a cannonball. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our history of the United States. I love the history here of our country, Lord, and I pray that that our country will remain free, and I pray our country will continue to actually will turn back towards you, will turn back to be a nation that is always continuing to put you forward, and not just a humanistic lifestyle, but we will, as a nation, turn our hearts back to you. Lord, I pray for that for our nation. And Lord, I just really thank you for my salvation. I thank you for what you have done in my life and how you have saved me. Lord, we just ask you'll speak to us today. Help us, Lord, to really concentrate on what I feel and what you've spoken to me over the last couple of weeks on this topic of your armor, especially on the spiritual dimension, Lord. And just help us to keep our mindset of where we need to be as people. In your name, pray, amen. So, week 7, the armor of God. We've been going down the armor of God. And hey, Roger, I like that. I like that. So armor of God, we're going to pray in the spirit. So once again, we went down this whole chain of events, and I'm going to repeat it again. So it started because I met this guy when Jen and I were on the trip down in the islands, and he was all about love, and he had this spirit about him that was about this other guy that I met who was all about love. They weren't about Jesus. They weren't about, but they had this the spirit about them that made me think, what in the world's going on? They had this same spirit. It wasn't about Jesus. It was about love, and that they knew more than pastors, and they knew, which, you know, so that's not hard to do, no more than a pastor, right? But they knew more than what the Bible would say, and that they were these guys of high intelligence, that they connected more with God than other people. So anyhow, so it kind of led us down this trail. Then when I pulled up Daniel, when we started looking at the spiritual dimension of what's taking place. And I thought about that for the last many weeks, actually. This has been, to me, an eye-opener just to keep my head in the game. Because, you know, okay, we all get busy. We all have our worlds, that our bubbles that we're in, working, retirement. Must be nice, but... You know, if we spend it in football, if we spend it in college, if we spend it, you know, in reviewing, you know, history or whatever it may be. But the thing that really just blew me out of the water, spiritual realm that we're dealing with. So then that took us in. The question was, because then we looked at Daniel. When Daniel prayed to God and God sent the angel out, and the angel then was detained by a demon, the prince of Persia, for 3 weeks. So we see this spiritual dimension that's taking place that we forget about. And that's kind of what has drove us into this passage that we've been looking at. Ephesians 6, the armor of God. And we're going to start in Ephesians 6. In verse, which we have been starting in every week, verse 10. And our focus today is going to be on verses 18 through 20, but we're going to read again, starting in verse 10 as we look at the final one of praying in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit isn't actually one of the armor of God's that would go in with the sword of the Spirit, but we're looking at praying in the Spirit because I wanted to pull that out because it's such an important item. Verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord. Sorry, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition, in all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. This is what we're going to be looking at today. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. And always keep on praying for all the saints. And then we'll continue down in, as we get further down. But we are hit with this spiritual trickery. And we see it in our society more and more evident every day. Of the tricking, the deception, the falseness, the twisting of God's word. The twisting of the natural courses of that were cast, you know, beginning of the natural course of humanity, and all these things are twisted and turned, and we're told to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. What's that mean? Pray in the Spirit. Because we talk about being Spirit-filled. And when people pull this topic out, a lot of people then they'll turn and say, well, see, this is called praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And that's what we're looking at here. It's not about praying in tongues. It's not about pulling anything out of one of the gifts that might be available that people might have. But this is specifically talking about in the Spirit. If you see this, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. When it talks about praying in the Spirit, it's talking about the Greek there. It's this connection of being connected with the Spirit. It's this connection of being fully in our mind and in our thoughts and everything, fully encapsulated by the Spirit. So that we are in a dimension, our mind, our body, our soul, that everything that is part of us, that we're totally encapsulated by the Spirit, that we're walking, we're in that same sphere. That's what is praying in the Spirit. A lot of people talk about tongues, we'll jump into here quick. 1 Corinthians, and you can go there or not, but I'm just going to read this quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 14:14-15 says this when it's talking about tongues. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I'll also sing with my mind. When those that have the gift of tongues and they pray in that manner, they're using a spirit sense, and you need an interpreter, and the person that's praying doesn't even know what they're praying. What we're talking about here in Ephesians is our mind is totally encapsulated. We're praying in the Spirit, that our mind is part of our prayer, that we are in tune so much with what the Spirit is telling us, that we're walking this way, we're praying this way because we're connecting with the Spirit. Does that make sense? So we're on the Spirit level. We're being alerted by the Spirit. It even says in verse, we're going to read this 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind. Be alert. Be alert. We're talking about the armor of God. We're talking about this battle. We're talking about when we even get to there, we get down to this spiritual battle that's taking place in the heavenly realms. That isn't that our battle, once again, is not against flesh and blood. It's not against our humanity brothers and sisters that we disagree with or that have different values than we do, or worship somebody different. That's not our battle. It's not against the flesh and blood. It's against that heavenly realm. It's against that heavenly realm, that sense of spiritual, that stuff that's taking place that we forget about. And the Scripture says, be alert. Be alert. When you think about being alert, last week when we talked about the Word of God and how it's sharper than a two-edged sword and it can slice down between the bone and the marrow, right? It can slice down. It's so sharp, and it goes right to our heart of what our intent is, what's our purpose, to be alert, to understand, and to pray in that manner. And I know for me, you know, prayer, when we're supposed to pray in the Spirit, and you think about how that looks, I so many times, and maybe you guys aren't like this, but so many times I find myself coming before the Lord with requests, like me requests, right? Me needy requests, me like God, I need you for this, or God, I need you for that, or God, and it's, we forget about so much other stuff, and we pray for me stuff. We do that a lot. I know I do. When there's so much other stuff that we bypass and we overlook, and we do not concentrate our prayer time so many times because we're not in the Spirit. We're not attuned to listening to what the Spirit's telling us and to being in tune with that. We have to be alert. Actually, I wanted to put on my phone to be a great example, but I totally forgot. I wanted to hit like the press button, but I wanted to get an alert on my phone right at the time I said alert. Cause then you'd be like, oh, an emergency alert. Or you know what I mean? You get those emergency alerts and we're in tune with our phone, aren't we? We're in tune with what's going on around us that we get an alert. Last year at this time, we had that prisoner running around and we were all getting alerts and hey, watch out. We're locking our doors and we were really in tune with what was going on. And that's what scripture's saying here, to be alert. It means the King James says it to watch, to watch. And if you're a hunter, you're in a tree stand, sometimes you're sitting there and if something's coming in, what are you doing? You're really zoned in and watching a movement, a twig, a leaf. Now, Bob, I know you're getting all excited now to go hunting, right? But you know what I mean? Like you're watching and you're in tune with nature at the time because you're hunting and you're alert and you're watching. If you ever watched an animal of prey chasing a rabbit or a groundhog or whatever, I see it with our dog. The dog will be sitting on the porch or on the patio and all of a sudden she'll see a groundhog and she'll go up to a point and she's like, and she'll start sneaking out and she's really alert and intense and her purpose is to hunt and she's watching that groundhog. She's watching. And so many times we as people forget that our battle, what scripture talks about, the armor that we are to put on, that we need to have on, is against the spiritual realm. This dimension of evil that's overshadowing humanity, that's overshadowing us, and we get hit with these temptations. And scripture says we are to pray in the Spirit and to be alert. We're to watch. We're to watch. What happens? How does that look? Did you ever hear of a guy named Kermit Tyler? Do you know that name? Okay. I didn't know it either. I was trying to give a good example of how this looks. And in December 3rd, actually, 1941, this guy, Kermit Tyler, he was his first training day. He was in Hawaii. Give you some insight, but he's in Hawaii, and it was his first day. This week was his first week, December 3rd, that he was reviewing and learning the new technology of radar. So it has been going on for a while, but this was his first week learning radar and the systems of how to look at the screen and what's going on with the screen. So it was an uneventful week, and he kind of trained and learned and saw what was going on. And then the next week, on December 7th, 1941, which we know as Pearl Harbor, he was in his shift, and he was looking at the screen. Well, he was in charge of overseeing the screen. He got a call. The last half an hour of his shift, he got a call from the guys looking at the radar. So they're watching the radar screen. And these guys said, they called Kermit and said, hey, we see these blips on the radar like we've never seen anything like before. And Kermit said, well, you know, this is all new technology. And they knew that there were some bombers coming over from the mainland to Hawaii, and he assumed, he's like, well, these are the bombers coming in from the mainland to Hawaii, so there's nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. But they had the radar. They saw that they were alerted. They saw what was coming. They were alerted that these planes were coming into Hawaiian airspace, and 55 minutes later was the beginning of Pearl Harbor. And how many thousands of people died, and millions of dollars that were sunk, and planes that were blown up, and lives ruined. Why? They weren't alert. They were alerted. Like, they saw it coming. And they were alerted. But they didn't take that, they weren't watching from the standpoint of, we're going to be attacked. That's how we are as believers. That's how I am as a believer. I'll tell you that. That's how I am as a believer. I know the radar screen. I see the screen. And when I'm watching the screen, and scripture tells us, and it tells me, Jeff, your battle isn't against flesh and blood. Your battle is against evil, against the spiritual dimension that's taking place in this realm. You need to put on the full armor, Jeff, because sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're not putting on the righteousness that you should have on. Sometimes you're not putting on walking in faith. So sometimes, Jeff, you're not putting on your full armor. How many of us can say that? Probably all of us. But yet, what do we know on the radar screen? We're told that this is a spiritual battle. Something that we can't see. It's going on past of what we see. And this armor that we're told to put on is our radar. Like, that's our screen. And it says, be alert. Jeff, be alert and pray in the Spirit. I'm supposed to be walking in the Spirit, knowing, seeing, praying in the Spirit. So the Spirit can lead me throughout my day. The Spirit can lead me throughout my life. When these things take part of our life and they beat us down, and we change our direction, we take our eyes off the Lord, we take our eyes off the Spirit, and we start listening to society. And some things in society aren't bad to listen to. I'm not saying all that. But when it takes our mind off of the biblical worldview and the process of what scripture tells us, and throws us into a humanistic standpoint, or throws us into, I'm so depressed. I'm so worried. Nothing works right. God doesn't love me. People don't care. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to go out and just, forget the Bible, forget church, forget what scripture says, forget meeting together with people, forget trying to help people. You know, I could care less about my neighbor down the road, because I really don't care if they need help or not, because I got an ingrown toenail and I can't deal with it. I mean, we have our self-vision on, right? So many times that's what we have, our self-vision, and we're not walking in tune with the Spirit. We're supposed to be walking in the Spirit, bringing these things in the Spirit in prayer. Prayer. How many times do we neglect our prayer life? And the prayer is on many things. Verse 18, once again. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, not just sometimes, not just in the morning, not just at lunchtime, not just at dinner. It doesn't say that. It says all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep in praying on for all the saints. We're supposed to be praying for one another. We're supposed to be praying for all kinds of things. What does that look like? What's all kinds of things? Our neighbors? Sure, our finances, our neighbors' finances, growth of the church, people that are sick in the church, people that need help. We're supposed to pray and give God honor for the things that happen in our life that are awful, right? That there's things that we are going to learn from, But as we're walking in the Spirit, we need to be in tune with the Spirit. Just like Jesus was in tune with the Spirit, Jesus was in tune with God and the prayer in the garden. So Jesus was in tune. Luke, and you can look this up. I'm just going to call it out quick. Luke chapter 22, verse 40. It's where Jesus was in the garden. And I'll read it. Verse 40. Did I say 22? On reaching the place, so it talks about Christ, pray that he will not fall into temptation. And then, verse 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus' will here was he didn't want to die. Take this cup from me if there's any way you can do that. But he said, not my will, God, your will. He was in tune. He was alert. He knew the purpose, but he still brought that request to God. And God, which we know, is like, this is the only way for the perfect person to cleanse the sin for all human as your sacrifice. This has to go this way. Not my will, but your will be done. So Jesus was walking in the Spirit, and we're supposed to have Jesus as our example, and that's what we're supposed to be walking towards, right? That's how we're, item of prayer. Another item of prayer, and this is a lot of times, so if we're supposed to come to Christ in prayer, and we're supposed to be in the Spirit in prayer, there's all sorts of requests. And this is one that I always found interesting. It's the beginning in Genesis. So if you look at Genesis of 24, you can turn there, you can just listen. This is a story of a servant. There's Abraham's servant. Abraham's servant, and I like it when you get to the beginning of the Bible, the beginning of the world, the stuff that was all new, and like it wasn't thousands of years later, but it was like the beginning, like a couple thousand after the beginning of the creation, right? So all this stuff was taking place. So I love to find out these first things that are taking place in Genesis. So Abraham's servant, he sent his servant out and said, my son needs a wife. I trust God that, Isaac can't go back to where we came from because we were promised of this land and we have to stay here. So and Abraham is old at the time. And he sends his servant out and says, you are commissioned to go find a wife for my son, to bring her back here. Okay. Now we see a prayer of a servant. So this wasn't even the prayer. I mean, I'm sure Abraham was praying, but we don't see that in Scripture. So this is a prayer of a servant. Genesis 24, 12. And I'm going to read down through 15, I guess. Then he prayed, this is a servant, then he prayed, O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside the spring and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I will water your camels also too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this, I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished praying. So this is just a servant. A servant that God loves just as much as he loves Abraham, just as much as he loves Isaac. Just as much as he loves us, this servant was praying. Verse 15, before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Micah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever laid with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. And then she went and got water for the camels. The servant was praying all kinds of requests, just like we see that we're supposed to be doing. Well, how many times do we take things into our own hands? We pray about it. We have a desire in our heart that we want it to work a certain way, and we don't wait. Or we have a desire, and we want our desire so much, and it's all based on our human desires or greed or whatever it may be, and we're not encapsulated with the Spirit. And we're not praying in the Spirit. We're praying many times selfishly. And we forget that this heavenly realm, that's where the Spirit battle is taking place. And we drop the ball and we don't pray about it, or we don't really care, or we're in a zone of our own making that we just want to do what we want, right? How many times does that happen? I know for me that happened. I'm like, this is what I want to do. And I work myself into a problem because I'm not really in tune with what the Spirit wants me to do. I'm not really listening to what the Spirit's telling me to do. I'm doing my own thing. And as Americans, we do that a lot because we're so used to like the drive of the independence and the drive of, we're independent, free people, and we think free and we do free and we're all about freedom and we push. And that's in our mindset. That's drilled into our, I know my nature, that's drilled into our mindset. And then we step back and be like, I need to be walking in the Spirit. I need to be in the Spirit in my prayer life. I need to listen to the Spirit. I need to pray to God. I need to ask God about all sorts of requests. What kind of requests? Going back to Ephesians, what are we supposed to be praying on? What are we supposed to be praying for? Verse 19. We already know we're supposed to pray for the saints. Verse 19, as we close out, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I may be fearless. Make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Paul was in prison. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. We know that we're supposed to be praying for the saints, right? We know that that's other Christians, other believers. We're supposed to pray for one another. We know, and this is what we're supposed to pray. Paul's asking for. Now remember, this is Paul. Paul, when you read scripture, Paul didn't seem like a fearful guy, did he? I mean, he was kind of like, he was going after Christians. He was kind of like all out. Before he was a believer, man, he was going after the church. And we don't see that he actually killed somebody, but I'm sure he probably did. He was a soldier, and he was, he was commissioned to take care of these Christians, and he was gathering them up, throwing them in jail, all sorts of other stuff that would ever happen. He wasn't like a fearful guy. And he's praying when it comes to this battle, this dimension, he's praying that he'll be fearless. And actually, when you read that, he says it twice. I'm going to read that again. Verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. So fearlessly, we are to be praying that we can make the gospel known for ourselves. We're supposed to be praying for other Christian leaders that they can fearlessly present the gospel. Because what do we find today? Fear factor, right? I mean, with everything that's going on, people post stuff, they make stuff up with AI now, and people are fearful of being canceled, fearful of, you know, someone in the community might not like me, but hey, someone in church might not like me, right? I mean, it's like my family might not like me. And we live in this fear of people liking us. And Paul's saying, pray for me that I can share the gospel fearlessly. Because as we look at the spiritual realm, we're supposed to remember that our job isn't to, our job is to present the gospel. Our job to follow Christ and walk in the Spirit and be in tune for Him, praying for opportunities to present the gospel. That's our main job. Yeah, we're supposed to take care of others. We're supposed to help others. We're supposed to love others. We're supposed to speak God's word to people. And Paul says twice that I will make this fearless, making known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. Fearlessly. That's what we're supposed to be praying for. We have this armor. As we close out, we have this armor. We're told to wear the armor from the belt, the breastplate, our helmet, our shield, the sword. We have everything that we have that is told to put this on us for our protection. And then we're told that we are to be praying in the Spirit. So we have the Word of God and our prayer in the Spirit that we're supposed to be. That's where our power comes from. We don't have power. In the spiritual dimension, we have no power. Yeah, we might be strong like Gavin. Okay, he plays football. He showed me a video the other day, and he was running down the field, and the guy called a fair catch. But, I mean, by the time he called a fair catch, I wish he wouldn't have called a fair catch. Gavin was like this far from him, and the guy would have been just like pounded. You know, I mean, here's Gavin. He's 6'2", 6'3". You know, just could flatten the guy. But we can't do that. And a strong guy, whoever he may be, can't do that in the spiritual dimension where our battle is. What happens there? Happens there is prayer. Prayer. That's our defense. That's our connection. And that's, I know, many people, and I say many people because I'm putting me right on the top of the list, that I don't spend enough time in prayer. You know, I really don't. I know, like, when Jen goes out walking, she prays for it. She'll walk and pray and pray and pray. For me, I'm cursed with a busyness mentality. I got to be busy. I got to be doing something. And sometimes that's good. You get stuff done, but sometimes it's bad because my mind's always somewhere else and I'm not concentrating on this spiritual dimension of prayer. That's what we're supposed to look at. Prayer. Prayer. So as we close out this whole series, I know for me, just remembering this spiritual dimension, it's opened my mind a lot on when I see something. Before, I used to be like, those people are idiots. And now I'm just like, my battle isn't against them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. They're living in a deceived world. I need to see things at the spiritual level. And to get things done at the spiritual level, that means we need to be praying in that dimension. We need to be connecting with the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God. And we lift you up, Lord. We know that you can do all things. We know that you love us. We know that you love people. And we know that that there's people out there that are lost. And we know that there's people that will never turn to you, but we know that there's some people that are going to turn to you. Lord, I ask for everybody in here, I ask for myself, that we will continue to look for the opportunities and that we will fearlessly present the gospel as we should. Just as you did, speaking of who you were as our Messiah and the apostles as they promoted and pushed you, Lord, and the gospel. Help us to live like that in a fearless manner that we can simply present the gospel to other people. And help other people. Help us, Lord, to remind us that we are living in a dimension that things are taking place in the spiritual realm. Help us to see that way. Help us to look out and see that in that dimension. Lord, I pray for everybody in here, Lord. I pray that your blessing of the Spirit will be upon us this week. And as we walk out this week, Lord, I pray for that we will see opportunities to present the gospel to others and help us to stand in that spot. And even though we might be scared, that we're going to say, hey, you know what? Have you ever heard about Jesus? Or do you know what the gospel is about? Whatever, however that may be, Lord, I pray that you'll work that out. Help us just to be fearless in opening our mouth to speak the truth of the gospel. In your name we pray. Amen.